Well, we are in the series Believe, based using the book Believe, Living the Story of the Bible to Become Like Jesus as our outline. We've used each of the chapters, and we're in week 27 of 30. This is like an old friend now. You know, we've been in it for a while. But remember, we started out last year with the first 10 chapters looking at the 10 core beliefs that we believe as Christians. The goodness of God, salvation through Christ, the Word, the Bible is God's authority over our lives, eternity that we have hope to look forward to. These things that we believe. And then we began this year by looking at the practices or the disciplines of the Christian faith. How do we move these beliefs from our heads but into our lives so we can position ourselves where the Holy Spirit can work in us and transform us and change us, conform us into the image of Christ. And as we become more and more like Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, the virtues of the Christian life should become more and more evident. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. And I've been waiting for this one patiently. Patience. Young Christian went to an older Christian and asked him, "Will you please pray for me that I may be more patient?" So the older Christian put his arm around the younger man. They got on their knees, and the older Christian began to pray, "Oh, Lord, I pray that you would bring tribulation to this young man in the morning. I pray, Lord, you'd bring tribulation to this young man in the afternoon. I pray, Lord, you bring tribulation." And the young man stopped him. Wait, I asked for patience, not tribulation. And the old wise Christian says, but it is through tribulation where we learn patience. Patience. Key ideal there is on your screen. I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life. How are you doing with patience? Are we there yet? Leads us to the key question for this morning is, how does God provide the help I need to deal with stress? How does God provide this help that we all need to deal with the stresses of life that are real? Our key verse this morning is found in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. There we read this. "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Patience. Before we need to go any further, I need to ask, what is patience? Let me give a few definitions that I find. I love Google. You can find anything anymore. But here's some good definitions of patience. First, patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against wrong. I think that's a pretty good definition. When somebody does you wrong, how do you respond? With patience or with anger? I'm not pointing any fingers here. God's speaking to me. Here's another definition. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. How do you deal with delays or disappointments? For some, this really is tough. Yet patience is the ability to accept it without becoming upset. How about this? Patience is the powerful attribute that enables a man or a woman to remain steadfast under strain, to keep on keeping on, if you would. Maybe that's where some of you are this morning. You're dealing with a difficult circumstance. You're raising a child. Or you're caring for aging parents. Or maybe a loved one is ill. And you've spent long hours at the hospital or the nursing home. You're weary. But patience is the quality to say, "This too will pass. It's almost over. I can keep on keeping on." Here's my favorite definition of patience, though. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. Let me say that again. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. An artist went to visit a friend of his one day, and the friend, she was crying, and he asked what was wrong, and she showed him this beautiful handkerchief that had great meaning to her because someone dear had given it to her, but an ink dot had gotten, a spot of ink had come up on it, and it ruined it. And the artist said, well, let me borrow it. And he took it home, and a few days later, she gets a package in the mail. And here the artist had taken that ink spot and used it as a base to draw this most beautiful picture on the handkerchief. And now the handkerchief had become this beautiful artwork of even greater value than it had before. Sometimes the tragedies that break our hearts can become the basis for a more beautiful design in our lives. Be patient with the hurts over which you have no control. In God's hand, they may even become a source of healing, help, and beauty. Patience. Patience is difficult, though. Patience is difficult to develop. As desirable as patience is, it's not easy to develop. In fact, it's a divine work of the Holy Spirit. I think patience is difficult for a number of reasons, but one is that acquiring patience is difficult because it goes against our human nature. We aren't born patient. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night and feels a little hungry, maybe the diaper's a little wet, the baby doesn't lie there and think, oh, Mom and Dad have had a hard day. I think I could wait till a more convenient time to wake them, tell them I need changed. No. The baby cries. And cries and cries until it gets the attention and the food or the diaper change that it needs. Children aren't very patient. Just go on a road trip. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? One mom, having heard it just one too many times, she turns to her 4-year-old son and says, "If we have 90 miles yet to go, if I don't want to hear you say one more time, are we there yet?" Little 4-year-old boy got a little scared, and he's sitting back here, got real quiet, and he's thinking. Finally, this little timid voice comes up from the back seat. "Mom, will I still be 4 when we get there?" From that back seat, it's a long way. It's not in our nature to be patient. We want what we want when we want it. The second reason that developing patience is hard is that because patience gets wrapped up in the weeds of pride, selfishness, anger. It chokes out the fruit of patience. We have become an impatient and often angry nation. You see it at work, you see it at school, you see it on the highways. A man stalled his car in heavy traffic just as the light changed green, and almost instantly, as he's frantically trying to start his car, the choirs of horns start honking behind him, and finally he gets out of his car and he goes to the car behind him. He knocks on the window and he says, "Excuse me, sir, I can't seem to get my car started. If you go give it a try, I'll stay here and honk your horn for you." Patience, difficult, because it's contrary to our culture. We don't live in a very relaxed culture. But you know, if you go to a two-third world country, somewhere like Haiti or Dominican Republic, I've been in mission trips down there, and it's a whole different culture. When does service start? When everybody gets here. How long does it go until we're done? We're in this rat race, this fast-track life. Our culture, you know, we get impatient waiting for instant coffee in the microwave. You know, there's a church in Florida that its big claim to fame, 22-minute service. They promote it this way. 22 minutes, you'll be in and out. Sermons are only 8 minutes long. Don't worry, it's not going to happen here. I used to love the great theologian Calvin and Hobbes. They have great theology in their comic strips. Sometimes it needs a little tweaking, but they're sometimes very good. One of the older comic strips, Calvin and Hobbes, dad is sitting at his computer. Over him is the bubble saying, "It used to be that if a client wanted something done in a week, that was considered a rush job, and he'd be lucky to get it. Now with all updated text and cell phones and Instagram, everybody wants it instantly." In the next frame, Calvin comes walking in, and he's carrying a microwave dinner, and he's reading the instructions. "It takes 6 minutes in their microwave? Who's got that kind of time?" Listen again to Proverbs 14:29. "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Proverbs again in 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel." Patience is a virtue. It's a virtue worth waiting for. Again and again, the Bible teaches us that we need to develop patience in our lives. We need to develop patience in what we say. Have you ever said something only to make the situation worse? You know, we need that filter of the Holy Spirit on what we say sometimes. We need the patience to wait and let our emotions catch up with our spirit so that we don't say things that we shouldn't. You know, there's actually an app today that you can get that will go on your smartphone that will filter your text and your emails, that if you write something and it will say, if it sees something that might be hurtful or harmful, it will hold that email and send it back to you and say, "Oh, do you really want to send this?" Man, we need that. We need that filter on our mouths and our hearts that will tell us, "Do you really want to say that?" But we've got to take time and be patient and not react, but let that Holy Spirit be the filter, be the app in our hearts. So how do we develop patience? We know it's difficult. The Bible teaches it. We should have it. But how do we develop it? Let me give you four suggestions. And the first suggestion is the same that's been true for all of the fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about. How do I develop love? How do I develop joy? How do I develop peace? How do I develop patience? The answer is the same. Abide in Christ. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." How do we develop patience? We abide, we remain in Christ. We receive the nourishment spiritually that we need by staying in prayer, by staying in connection with Christ, as we stay in His Word, as we stay in community and fellowship with other Christians, as we stay in prayer and worship, as we remain connected to the branch. and the power of the Holy Spirit through putting ourselves in the position where God can work in us. And through obedience and following Him, this fruit is going to develop out of us, and we can't do it on our own. We need this holy dependence on God. But it takes our putting ourselves and yielding ourselves to the Spirit to let Him work. It takes humility. We need to slow down. We need to hit the pause button sometimes. You know, it was God Himself who created the Sabbath. That is a biblical principle. To work 6 days and to rest. To put a pause in your life where you can breathe. And take time to worship. And to experience God. To experience His people. We're so much in a hurry. I've got 3 things scheduled for this afternoon. That's not good. I want to develop patience? I've got to pause. I've got to take time. Take time to be with your children. To enjoy them. Take time to be with your spouse, to bless them. Thirdly, we need to overlook the little frustrations of life. The little foxes. Now, does it really matter that I left the toothpaste on the counter again this morning? It does. But are you going to let that ruin your whole day? Too much self-confession up here. You know, it's the little stuff that eats at us. And we let that little stuff accumulate, and we lose patience with each other. We lose patience with life. We lose patience with everything around us. And when we stop and pause and we take time to reflect, we realize it's the little stuff that's getting to us. But sometimes it's the big stuff too. Sometimes it is the job that I've lost. The diagnosis that's just come in. What do we do then? The Bible says there are some things that we just can't handle on our own. And that we'll never be able to handle them without the Lord's help. There's a beautiful illustration of this in Exodus chapter 14. You know, you got to love the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 14, most of you will remember the story. The people of Israel have been in Egypt for 400 years under slavery and bondage. And God has sent Moses to deliver them. And after the 10 plagues, God delivers them out of Egypt. And they come up against the Red Sea. And this body of water is before them. And behind them they hear the hoofprints and the wheels of the chariots of the Egyptian army coming hot on their heels. And they're literally caught between a rock and a hard spot, between an ocean and an army. And they cry out, "Moses, wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? Why would you bring us out here in the desert to die?" Moses says in Exodus 14, 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." And then listen to what he says in verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." To be still, to wait on the Lord, to know that in the little frustrations and the big trials, God is at work. And we have patience because we look to Him. Jesus is our best example of patience. He's the best example about everything, but of patience in particular. In Matthew chapter 26, this is the last week of Jesus' life. He's been in Jerusalem and had the the Lord's Supper the last night with his disciples. Tomorrow he goes to the cross, but after the Lord's Supper, he and his disciples, they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus goes out and he's under this great anguish, and he's in fact it says in Matthew 26, my soul, he says, is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he says to his disciples, stay here and keep watch. And he goes off and he prays, and Peter and John come with him, and he says, now stay here and keep watch while I pray. And he goes off a little bit further. In Luke chapter 22, it tells us that being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus, three times, comes back to the Peter, James, and John, and finds them sleeping. And yet, he loves them. He's patient with them. And he treats them with kindness. One Christian author writes this. Evelyn Christensen, she writes this. I wept as a cardiologist described Jesus' drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was betrayed and arrested. Medical scientists report that only when a human is under rare and extremely grave stress do their blood vessels break and mix with the sweat in their sweat glands. She goes on to say, I grieved at how Jesus' disciples could sleep when he kept appearing to them with his forehead bloodied. And since the skin becomes so sensitive when it sweats blood that it touches almost intolerable, I cringe at how my Jesus could stand to have the crown of thorns thrust into his tender brow, wearing it for us, the scourging, the mocking, the spitting for us. There's one more verse I'd like to share this morning. It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Peter writes this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as we understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Have you ever wondered why God hasn't intervened? I turn on the news and I look at the world and the madness of what's going on, besides the fact that Revelation promised that it was coming. I wonder, why, God, do you let this continue? For one reason. God is patient. He is patient, and he wants everyone to be saved. And every day that he waits is just one more day for people to repent and come to him, to turn finally from their own sin and receive his forgiveness and his grace. He's patient, wanting us to be saved. He's patient, willing to endure the suffering so that we could be set free. Right now is your opportunity. This morning, you have that chance. If you have not come to that saving faith where you have put your trust and your belief in Jesus Christ, he's waiting for you patiently. He suffered for you patiently. He died in your place to take the penalty for your sins patiently. And he's offering you one more time the gift of salvation. By putting your faith and trust, by returning from your old life, your sins, and turning to him and saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. I want to walk in your ways. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to walk anew. If you can do that this morning, the waiting was worth it. The suffering that has continued till this moment was worth it. Because your eternal destiny has now been ever changed. But don't wait too long, because we don't know how much longer we have. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know what this afternoon is going to bring on the ride home. I wish no evil on anyone. But we don't know how long he's going to be patient. But I know right now that gift is yours, if you would receive it. So as the worship team comes up this morning to lead us in our closing song, if you have not received this gift this morning, I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me and pray this prayer. And if you'd like to know more about it, you can come up at the front to the kneelers or meet me in the back and we'll talk more about it. If you're here this morning and most of you know this, pray right now with me that God and the Holy Spirit would open hearts this morning. Father, most gracious God, if you're here this morning and you have not put your trust in him, just simply say this with me in your heart or out loud if you want. Father, I know I'm a sinner and I know I've lived apart from you. Forgive me. Lord, I receive your son and his death as a payment for my sin. I understand, Lord, that he has set me free from that sin, that old nature, that I might live for you from this day forward. Fill me with your spirit that I might do that. That through your help I might have the power to be patient, to be loving, to be kind, to be your witness. If you've said that in your heart this morning, the wait has been worth it. Father, most gracious God, we love you. You are our salvation, our hope. Help us to be patient. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.